Be sure to follow Off the Cuff on all social media platforms, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, X. Grant is out for the week at Talladega at the race. So the three of us will talk about the NHL and NBA playoffs and the 2025 NFL draft, specifically the top 10 picks and how they will shape out, who are likely trade candidates, and what the draft looks like come Thursday. So great show for you guys. Get into it. All right, gentlemen.
Welcome to Off the Cuff, NFL with the draft edition.
With the fifth pick in the 2025 draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Ashton Jeanty, Boise State, running back.
Oh, can you imagine?
Is that when the draft starts? Are we as a podcast penciling in Will Campbell?
Yeah.
To the Patriots at 4?
Yeah.
Probably. That's the case. I mean,
unless things get weird and 1-3 isn't 1-3. That's the only way I can see it get weird.
We're going to semi break down the top 10, but the top 3 seems pretty set in terms of everyone's eyes, right?
Yeah.
I don't think so, though. Like, I hear there's a lot of chatter that a team would move up to go to 2. Like, there's someone, I don't know who, is throwing a bag at Cleveland, either mid-draft or post-draft.
Here's my question to you, though. Does that change the players that are taken 1-3?
I think so. I think that there is a real possibility that there's a team that's crazy enough to try to pair Shador and Travis together. I think that's the only way we see some. Maybe it's not top 3 like that, but I do think we could see a move of a team trying to come up to pair those two together.
What if it's Jerry Jones?
Nah.
Imagine that.
I mean, that's just way too much movement to even fathom. Like when the Texans did it, they already had one pick up there and they just got a second one. So I think it would be, if anything, like the Browns trading with the Giants or the Giants trading with the Browns or something like that, if it's going to be at the tippy top.
It's just like lateral movement almost.
My thing is, I don't think the players are going to change regardless of the team. It's just who wants it more. Like, if you're Cleveland, you're moving up to whatever team we're talking about is going to take Cleveland's pick. I mean, it's still going to be for Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. Yeah, I don't think there's anybody worth moving up for, because it seems like Shador's falling. Is everyone on the same page here that Shador's not getting drafted in the top 10?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I think he could still go to the Saints at 9, but it does not seem likely anymore.
He's even odds right now to be in the second round.
I think he's still going in the first round for the fifth year option.
I said he's going second.
I think
second.
He's falling.
Just saying. I said he falls.
I had a take here. Earlier, I was on the phone with Grant, and I said, I don't think Cleveland is going to take Shador Sanders in the second round if they're on the clock. I think they would have moved up for the fifth-year option already and taken Shador. But if they're on the clock in the second round looking at Shador Sanders, I have a hard time believing they wouldn't have just moved up 3 picks to just collect the option.
Well, like Ryan Pohl said, he expects some craziness and some drama. We might have to wait and see till later today.
I will tonight. Say, all the draft talk aside, as we'll get to that, NHL playoffs been absolutely lit. This is my first experience with it. It has made me a fan of hockey.
What is your favorite part so far?
I would probably say, I didn't watch this live, but the Oilers and was it the Kings?
Yep.
I would say that series has been the best part for me.
Yeah, so Oilers, crazy enough, fought back. So this is like right after our Monday podcast. Oilers fought back just to lose in the last 30 seconds. It was sad. Very sad. I'll give them credit, dude. They put up 5 goals against a really good Kings team, you know, on the road. That's hard to do. They play again tonight. That's going to be electric. It just sucks that East Coast, for all the East Coast fans out there, have to watch everything late. So that game's not going to finish till 1, which is ridiculous.
That's another topic. Why are we suiting to the West Coast folks? But that's a completely different topic. But that just pisses me off.
The NBA does the same thing, bro. It's like the bad game gets put on at 7, and then the best game's on at 10 o'clock.
Can we make a new segment called "Shit That Pisses Me Off"? And then we just sports related.
I've been begging Grant for a "What's Got You Fired Up" segment.
Oh, I like that. I like that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, but you know, that's for another. We can talk our smack while he's not here to defend himself. That's the best part.
Boys, I'm gonna have to quietly say in the mic today that I am 9 for 9 in the playoffs right now for NHL betting.
Absolutely.
You've been on a
heater. We are cooking right now. I doubled down on Toronto yesterday. Prayed at OT. Gosh, that scared me. 2-0 is the worst lead in hockey. You know. But cash out before Vegas, things couldn't look better. I was very sad about the Lightning, though. That was
yeah, they
bad.
Got smacked. And that unfortunately, was... a lot of people were claiming that was going to happen.
Asking.
Unfortunate to say.
Yeah,
it
well,
was an ass kicking.
Matthew Tkachuk had just come back as well for the Panthers. If your guys are watching the Tkachuk brothers right now, one plays for Ottawa, one plays for Panthers, Brady and Matthew Tkachuk. Dude, he deked Matthew Tkachuk yesterday, deked the hell out of Vasi right in front of him and just sat him down, put the puck in the net, and it was just like, man, this is going to be a long series. Panthers came out and kicked their ass, but Lightning play really good after they've gotten their ass whooped in the first game. It's like a tradition at this point.
Fogel, so now that you're 9 for 9, what do you got tonight?
Oh, thanks for asking. I was skeptical to put a bunch of bets out there tonight because, you know, when you're like on a heater, you kind of want to like ride the heater but not get too crazy. You're like looking at things in depth, way too in depth now. Grant came up with one tonight that I love, so I'm going to tail this. It's not my own, but Nathan MacKinnon and Connor McDavid both to record assists. To me, that's like white on rice. That's like peanut butter and jelly, hamburger, sugar Kool-Aid. It don't matter. That's just how this works. Like, they both are ballers. Nathan MacKinnon is unbelievable. I think this game is going to be over, which is my favorite play of any play I've made so far in the entire hockey playoffs. Over 5.5 goals for the Stars Avalanche game at the Avalanche. 9 straight games at the Avalanche has gone 7 or more goals at home. Dallas is allowing a lot of goals as well. Dallas just got back one of the right wingers who's a goal scorer. So I think this is going to be like lights out all across the board in terms of points. So that's why I kind of took Makar again for assist and Nathan MacKinnon to register a goal. So all those I'm like super in on. So that's what
let's
is that?
See,
3 bets.
Let's see how sharp you are. It's because when this is released, shit already cashed.
Facts. You can't tail it unless you hear it live, right?
unless you're sitting in the room with us right now, you won't have the opportunity to tail. You'll have to join the premium Discord for $12.99 a month.
$12.99 a month. Sounds like a steal to me.
Yeah, it's a good value.
The most boring series by far has been Carolina and the Devils. It's just I'm not watching any of their games, to be honest with you. It's just been quiet. Carolina just keeps kind of running with it. It's gross.
We also have the NBA playoffs tonight. I mean, the Magic play. Celtics Magic tonight.
Well, remember, it would have been last night.
Magic,
bro. Yeah. From what I understand, Tatum isn't supposed to play. So maybe the Magic pulled one off.
I will say this. I'm taking Paolo over points.
What's this line at?
25.5.
Again. So it was 24.5 last game. 25. Ooh. I kind of like that. I might have to do that right now.
The thing is about this, though, is like Paolo had like 36 last game. Celtics got punched in the mouth in the first half. Paolo had like 20 in the first half. So like I would say just with caution because they somewhat know what they're coming into now and what they're expecting. But I'm still taking it. Just Paolo, big body, get to the rack, still can shoot three.
I'll be honest. I'm speaking as if the Celtics just gave up home court and the Magic stole game two. They're coming back to Orlando. So I think that's going to be exciting. We'll see how that plays out.
What do you guys think about Golden State and Houston?
I think Golden State won.
He's talking into like it's been.
Yeah, bro's talking.
Now, what do you think about the game coming up though? For real, you think Steph and Jimmy Buckets are doing their thing?
I think tonight's going to be a high scoring game. But I think I'm actually on the opposite side of you, Chuck. I think the Rockets pull it out.
Yeah, we'll see.
I mean, Steph's probably going to have about 30, though, to be fair. So, usually good things happen when he does that.
Did I hear this correctly? Did Detroit just win their first playoff game in, like, however many years?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, to be fair, like, all of Detroit sports has been terrible for a long time. The Pistons were literally bottom of the barrel of the NBA for many, many years. Last time the Pistons were good, or like championship contending, I should say, poof, early to mid 2000s. So it's been a long time.
Yeah. Any storylines?
The NBA playoffs are at that stage where it seems like it's Thunder Celtics and the rest of these playoff series is just a bunch of noise.
Is that the only storyline you think going into this, even this first round?
I mean, you've got the Lakers. The Warriors. Have any comment? No one cares about anyone in the East outside of the Celtics. I mean, the Cavs were the number one seed, but it seems like the Celtics are probably going to beat them if they had to play. And in the West, you've got the Thunder dominating, and really you've got the Warriors and Steph and the Lakers and LeBron. And outside of that, like, bro, the Thunder and the Celtics are both, like, plus 100 type stuff. Like, I think the Thunder were plus 170 before the playoffs. And, Koja, you know what the Celtics were when you placed your bet?
What, my future?
Yeah, on the Celtics, you know what they were?
I can tell you right
now. It's treated as if those are the only two real contenders. So that's the NBA, and that's why the NHL playoffs are so much more exciting, because you at least have drama going on.
Well,
and
not only
plus
that,
195, too. +195.
Not only that, Chuck, but like, it is so much more likely for an NHL team, a professional team, to pull out a win on the road or at home than it is for what seems like what's going on, like the Thunder game or even the
Celtics.
Like,
there's a real threat for a quote unquote better team in the NHL
to lose.
There's a threat for them to lose a series. And in the NBA, it seems like that's. And it hasn't been that way. It's been that way forever in the NBA.
Or even make a series worth watching. You know what I mean?
Right. The NBA seems... Yeah. But the NBA seems like something we don't even have to talk about right now. Whereas the NHL, there's things to talk about.
I will say, though...
The Panther and Lightning, etc.
The NBA, I watched the Pacers-Bucks game last night. Those teams, they were scrapping, dude. Like, they were... getting after it. Bobby Portis, if you guys don't know, he's like, Bobby Portis is a traditional, you know, guy that's going to go out there and fight the other team. Like, he's going to talk his shit. We saw that last night. And, you know, we actually saw a double technical happen between those two teams. But Pacers are really just young. They're better. And there's Yeah, they have Giannis on the Bucks. I mean, it depends who you ask, the best player in the world, and they still can't beat this Pacers team. The only reason is exciting because they're about to fight, right? So that goes to the point that Chuck's making, is like, the East is a joke. Like, it's a joke.
Yeah, at least they had a little rivalry going. I did see a little bit of that. So good for the NBA in that regard, but... I'm ready for the NFL to be back for a weekend.
Well, WNBA, bro, we haven't talked about that. You want to know what the biggest news of the day is for them?
Yeah, what's up with them, bro?
What's
the one of them's pregnant
segment?
Well, Paige showed up to her conference today in Kobe 5 X-ray sneakers. It's going viral.
viral. I will say it was nice having the WNBA draft warm us all up for the NFL draft. The WNBA draft last week was like a dry run for all of us draft fans.
Yeah, they're
sharp. What do you say about that?
They're sharp.
What do you say about that, Deuce? Did you, when you were watching the WNBA draft, did it just make you think draft season or no?
You're insinuating that I watched that bullshit.
I was.
You're insinuating that I watched that.
I thought we all watched it. That's our job. That's our job as reporters.
I didn't know it was going on until the morning after when I opened up Twitter.
As credentialed media members, it's our responsibility to watch these sorts of things.
Coach, so if you don't watch this, they're not going to give you that badge at the Jags game.
Only people that want you to watch this is woke ESPN and Disney. That's it.
Yeah, they got my ass.
Go in and ask.
Sign me up.
I would love to see a poll.
I would love for them to just, as a punishment, force me to go to the WNBA draft in person.
Sorry to interrupt. I got one thing to say. Chuck, that's crazy. But I would love to see a poll between the NBA players and a yes or no question if they watch the WNBA draft. Well, I would bet it's like a 70-30, 70 no, 30 yes.
It's got to be less. Do you think there's that many yeses?
Well, did
that's a lot. 30 is good. Those are good numbers.
Did you guys hear about the new military tactic? It's waterboarding. It's the same thing. They just strap you to a chair and turn on the draft over and over and over again.
Just on repeat, like Zoolander, trying to hypnotize you.
It depends on the year, man. It depends on the draft class.
I don't know if that'd be torture to me. I'd be okay with it.
Yeah,
Chuck would just repeat HVL's her walking up on the stage just on repeat. Just,
I mean, if it was the year Cam Brink came out.
Yeah, Chuck's like, yeah, it was me, I did it.
Man, chill with this WNBA. All of a sudden we're gonna have to have a whole WNBA guest come on here the way we're talking.
Yeah, we'll get Andrew Sharpley on for that one.
All right, you guys
Sharpley don't know WNBA hoops. You think he knows you think he knows whoops?
Whoops. Whoops is the perfect name.
No way, bro.
All right, someone's, bro. We need to get this published tonight before someone steals that.
Just go. Yeah, like we need to take the URL like today.
Yes. Yeah. Whoops.com.
Oh my gosh. Got to trademark that.
Yeah. All right. Let's jump into the draft, boys.
Yeah, I mean, I can't be bothered with the NBA and the NHL because NFL's back for a weekend.
So why don't we talk about the first 10 picks? Let me read off the order for everyone. We know, we got 1, Tennessee, 2 is Cleveland, 3 is the Giants, 4 is the Patriots, 5 is the Jacksonville Jaguars, 6 is the Raiders, 7 is the Jets, 8 is the Panthers, 9 is the Saints, and 10 is the Chi-Town Bears.
All right.
As of today.
There's nothing to say about Cam Ward and the Titans. We've had 2 months to say if you think he's good or bad. Is there any chance that Cam Ward is not a Tennessee Titan? I say no. So I like what you said, Fogel. I think Cleveland, whether you like it or not, is on the clock right now. I'm still seeing people place Abdul Carter to the Browns bets. Let's say that to you.
I have a little bit of confusion for me. I heard a report that Cleveland and the Giants are looking to trade out of the spot. Maybe not looking, but fielding calls. And to me, like, Cam Ward has already been the pick, right? Like, I don't think anybody's been confused. Like, Shador was never the first overall for months. So Cleveland's already known who their options were. So why are they fielding calls now? Like, why didn't you field them a month ago?
Well, I'm sure they have been. It seems, and this draft being a weird class, and a weak quarterback class particularly, I don't think it's an environment that's teams are just trading up because teams are asking for too much in a draft that there's not premium positions going. If there were big-time wide receivers, big-time quarterbacks, a slew of trench guys, you know, might be different. But this is a class with a lot of linebacker converts. You've got a two-way player. You know, you've got a lot of what people like to call tweeners. Not a lot of slam dunk. Even Will Campbell, people are going around saying he's a guard. So I think you've got a quarterback class that's not there, and a class that people are having trouble evaluating. Teams don't want to trade up unless they think that they're getting a good deal. And this class isn't, it's a record-breaking amount of no trades.
I see them sticking, both teams. I mean, nobody is going to buy up for, the only player I could see teams buying up for is Abdul Carter like that, personally. Because what Fogle covered last week, or Monday, was edge rusher. Every team needs one of those guys. I think Travis Hunter is a lock for the Browns, and I'd even say Abdul Carter is a lock for the Giants. I don't think there's going to be any movement in the top four picks.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be movement either. I just find it interesting that, like, there's still this chatter going around, and then there's still calls being held. I think Abdul Carter is the pick at three and Travis Hunter is the pick at two, but I think there is a GM out there that loves Travis Hunter enough in the top 10 that is beside himself because he can't convince the rest of the room to give them two firsts. You know what I mean? I think I somebody is there. Like, and it's not me, or maybe it's not Koja, maybe it's Charlie. Look, there's three people in the room right now. Two of us wouldn't do it. Charlie, you would. You know what I mean? Like, you see it as that opportunity. So, like, I think that's probably going on at a high level right now, like in the GM groups and in the war rooms. But I don't think you can convince everybody that Travis Hunter is worth two firsts to move up. So I think there won't be any movement because of that.
Yeah, or whatever the price may be. I think that we're seeing new news that people are calling the Giants and Browns because it's now understood that it's going to be not only Cam Ward 1, but it's going to be Travis 2, Abdul 3. I think you heard some of those last bubbling reports because people were like, okay, now we know where Travis is going. I wanted Travis to fall, maybe. Maybe there were a couple teams, Jacksonville, Las Vegas, that thought, is there a chance? And then now that people found out there ain't a chance in hell, now there were those phone calls being made. We're willing to give you a lot to come get him. And yeah. I don't think the Browns are going to do it.
Is there any world now? So if we can knock those three picks out, right? Cam Ward is a Tennessee Titan. Travis Hunter is a Cleveland Brown. Abdul Carter is a New York Jet or Giant, sorry.
Yep.
If we move on to four here, is there a world where you guys see Mambu being taken over Will Campbell?
No.
Nope.
I don't think so because I don't think that teams are going to have Mambu below Will Campbell as a prospect. I think Will Campbell is above him to most teams. But I do think that there's a chance that we don't have a clue what the Patriots are doing. But I will say, I think it's Will Campbell for one reason. I think any team after the Patriots would also take Will Campbell. I think everyone is that high on Will Campbell. Therefore, the Patriots are going to be willing to take him as a top five bodyguard for Drake May.
So why I say no is I look as Armand Membu as he's like the absolute late riser, right? Combine comes by, insane combine for him. I look him as a developing tackle. The Pats don't need a developing tackle or even a developing O-lineman. Will Campbell is a guy that you plug right away. And he's going to be top 10, top 12 offensive lineman off a rip.
You know,
that's why I say no.
Something interesting to think about. Do you guys remember the draft with Mekhi Becton and Tristan Wirfs? Do you guys know who the first lineman was taken?
No. Andrew Thomas?
It was Andrew Thomas to the New York Giants. Can you guess the pick?
Three.
Four?
I remember it. I think it was three or four. But I think it's three.
So it was fourth.
Okay.
He was not on draft night, if I recall.
He didn't pan out like he was supposed to.
Yeah, but if I recall on draft night, he was – there wasn't a clear, obvious best player at tackle in that draft class, but there was a lot of them. And I remember Andrew Thomas not being the guy people originally thought was going to be the first tackle off the board. This franchise did it at four, which is why I asked the question, do they realize their mistake? And they don't even think about going outside of Will Campbell now. And so that can solidify this and be completely done. Or did they not learn at all?
So that was, I mean, Andrew Thomas went to the Giants, no?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Same franchise, same pick.
Well, we're talking about at three?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's how I got that wrong. To the New England Patriots, I'm sorry. We're going to have to cut all that out. I was thinking, for whatever reason, I was thinking in reverse.
But it still applies, though, because if you take a tackle that high, he better fucking hit, because top five picks need to hit.
At that time, I remember Andrew Thomas was a Georgia guy. He was like second or third tackle on big boards. It was a shock to me personally to see him go that high. But you know, he had all the intangibles. He had everything that you needed. So like, I didn't hate the pick. I think aside though, Will Campbell, on the other hand, I mean, what, he had two sacks over 4 years. I mean, people just don't realize how hard that is. I mean, it's just really, really hard to do, especially in a power-loaded conference like the SEC. A conference right now that has Walter Nolan, that has Shamar Stewart, Mykel Williams, Jalen Walker, who are in this draft, who are top 10, top 15 picks, Will Campbell climbed.
Yeah, I mean, you could even go back and watch Will Campbell on Jared Verse film.
Exactly. Yep.
I think that was probably the guy who got the best of him the most, and that was a battle, a war, some might even say. And Will Campbell has since even developed beyond that. And you got to remember, that was the first game going, you know, two seasons ago for him. I think that the Patriots are not, you know, no one's leaking, you know, no one has any, you know, direct line from the Patriots, but I think that people have figured it out. No other pick makes sense here. No other pick makes sense.
So, all right, if we can confirm 1 through 4, which the odds say, I wish I could find a bet on the 1 through 4, because I'm personally convinced this is very obvious and that there won't be any trades and these are the selections. So I think you can get it at probably like minus 200 if you parlay all four.
I saw something that, no, Fogel, I saw that the top five, the four we just said, and then Genty fifth overall, the top five in a row, those players, is even odds.
Yeah, that's because of Genty, really.
Yeah.
But that's really because of Genty. I mean, so if you take him out of it, who's like minus 175 to go fifth overall, you could probably, that's why I'm thinking, like, I think 1 through 4 is pretty free. But that being said,
I don't think it's even worth betting.
That being said, you never know what pops on Twitter night of the draft. Laramie Tunsil.
Yeah. If you locked me in a room, no Twitter, no hearing Todd McShay thinks Tet McMillan's a second-round pick. If you just asked me and you caught me before all the outside noise, I would say Tet McMillan is heavy, heavy in play right here at fifth overall for the Jaguars. And you probably remember me saying this months ago, like before the process really got fleshed out, I thought we were going to go Tet.
I actually don't think we're going to go Tet personally. I think he's on the board. I think he's on the board, yeah. But at five, I think it's a little early. So for the Jacksonville Jaguars, when we break down, because this is where the draft starts. This is where teams start to figure out what's happening in the NFL draft, because this is the biggest question mark. There is not a real insight on who's going to be taken, because as of 48 hours ago, Ashton Genty was like 7-1. He is now minus 200 almost to be the favorite at this point at that at the pick at five. And that might not even be to Jacksonville. So nobody in the hell knows what's going on. All that we can confirm, I think, is that Ashton Jeanty will be drafted at either five or six. We don't know what team will be drafting at five. We do know the Raiders will likely not pass up on him. Does everyone agree there?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Tet is completely out of the picture here, though. I mean, some of what Chuck has been saying kind of resonating on me here. I mean, he's a big body receiver. You got to think about Trevor and him in college. He had big body wide receivers. The past few years, we've had Kirk, Zay Jones, so on. Get him a big guy, right? Whether I agree, though, with you, Fogle, in saying, like, that is too early for him. That is way too early.
I think 10, you're right.
I could see.
I think you're
but
right.
If you start breaking it down and you start being willing to take a running back, you really got to go back and rewatch that Tet film and think about, do I think this wide receiver is, you know, elite? If you think he's an all-pro caliber wide receiver that is on par and can maybe do things that Brian Thomas can't do, the positional value starts to scream at you. Are we going to let a true alpha wide receiver pass us and get a running back? I mean, we can do what the Cincinnati Bengals just did and run that back and have a chance to have the foresight to maybe do it the correct way.
Well, my bigger question here is that you have to truly be convinced at five that Tet McMillan is the all and out best wide receiver superstar. Prospect and be a superstar, not only because at the pick at five and where the consensus of the NFL seems to be on Tet McMillan, but another thing to think about, the Jacksonville Jaguars just used a first round pick last year on Brian Thomas Jr. Did it work? Absolutely. But that's not the screaming, right, glaring need. You know what I mean?
And if you break it down, Ashton Jeanty is a much better prospect. If you throw positions out the window, Jenty's better. And if you're willing to throw that to the wind and say, we're not 100% sure on Tet, we're 95% sure on Tet, but we're 100% on Jeanty. If you think Jeanty is, there's people that think he's a better prospect than Saquon. If you're looking at one of the best running backs that you can even get, and you think that there might not be another Jeanty for the next 5 years, you might have to take him here.
Yeah, I think Jeanty is either the best or the second best player in this draft at his position. Let me emphasize that. I think Jeanty is unbelievable. However, a lot of teams need a running back. Jacksonville is kind of in that mediocre zone where they don't necessarily need to go Jeanty. They don't necessarily not to go
Fogle. People say that Jacksonville doesn't need a running back, yet they had one of the worst run games in the NFL.
That was O-line play. We had a lot of, I mean, to be fair, right, Chuck.
But they go hand in hand.
There's variables there. Right. So we're all sold that we're not taking Mason Graham at five.
I never thought we were. Chuck and I had a conversation yesterday about this, and I would love to break this down quickly. Is Mason Graham, at fifth overall, the Jacksonville Jaguars have already, as a franchise, heavily invested in the D-line. Joshua Hines Allen was a high draft pick. Walker, first overall. Are we really going to stamp a third, after signing Armstead, stamp a third guy from draft capital like that onto the D-line trying to fix this? No. And if they do, it would be a shame if the Jacksonville Jaguars D-line with the names on there, with the capital on there, to not be considered a top five D-line in the NFL with what's gone into it.
See, I don't think we take him, but I still think there's a glaring issue in the interior line. I mean, the edge we're pretty much set, but I still think there's an issue there. So let's say Jacksonville chooses Jeanty at five. Where do we see the Raiders going? Because that's the biggest question mark to me. If Jacksonville takes Jeanty at five, what the hell are the Raiders going to do?
Everything I've heard from the Raiders camp is they're like 75% sure that Armon Membo's a Raider.
Yeah, I think I'm on the same page. I think it's Membu, and I do think you need to mention Jalen Walker's name in the mix here. I think that teams have him higher on the board than people realize. Like, he's already a top 10 prospect, but I think he even has like a slim of a shot at 5, let alone 6. And so I think you need to keep him in there.
I could see a left field Mykel Williams pick here for the Raiders, actually. That one came to mind. Like, who's someone that could get picked? You know, it's not Mykel going in the top 10 wouldn't shock anybody. Just 1-2 picks earlier, the Raiders are right there, and they might love him.
Now, do the Raiders go with Kelvin Banks Jr.? That's another name to mention, because if they're going with Membu, what if he's not the guy that they want?
I have Membu above Kelvin Banks just because of the athleticism. You know, people are going to get infatuated with the what's the guy, Trent Williams and Tristan Wirfs comps for athleticism, or maybe it was Penei Sewell, but either way, there's that athleticism threshold that Will Campbell and Armon Membu both meet in terms of jumping 40 time size. I think that's part of the reason Will Campbell is going to go so high, but I think Armon Membu, you could argue, has a higher ceiling than Will Campbell. People will try to sit there and tell you. So I think that the Raiders are probably going to make that pick. And what people don't talk about enough, and I never thought that Jeanty was going to be a Raider, not because it was too high of a pick, but I don't think it made sense. The Raiders have a glaring hole at tackle. The Jacksonville Jaguars, whether you like to believe it or not, actually have their tackles kind of set. It's the interior O-line that's fucking or not good. But the Raiders have a glaring hole at tackle. They desperately need a guy like Armon Membu to build around Geno Smith and this new era in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I agree, Chuck. It probably tackles the way to go here, or at least offensive linemen. That had one of the worst run games, right? A lot of that starts in the trenches. So yes. The problem is with the Raiders there then is like, we didn't get Jeanty. You know, we're kind of screwed now. I don't think you can go wrong with Kelvin Banks or Armon Membu, both SEC players. Only problem I have about those two guys is simply just they're young, right? Like they're just young. 21, both of them. Coming out early, it can, I think, tackle specifically one of those positions. They both had a lot of reps, which kind of mitigates some of them being that young. I'm curious to see how they translate, because this is not like a insane offensive lineman class either.
I have one thing that I feel like we need to touch on, and you guys know me as more of on the stat nerd analytic side of things. Like, I typically fall in line with what the numbers say in this stuff. I want people to understand something. The chatter about taking a running back this early has gone too far. I'm sick of Chuck said this the other day. Where did we get to where giving a bad player 25 touches is a good thing and not investing in half the offense or maybe 30% of the offense, if you want to, now that we're counting O-line as well, is a bad thing? Like, to right. me, it's a giant part of the game. And for example, the Denver Broncos or the Los Angeles Chargers would have loved to have a competent, elite running back in their system today. They would love it. Now, can they build their team around a running back with nothing else? No, absolutely not. I totally agree there. But if you're competent enough to have a running back, we need to stop shying away from it.
Yeah, there's been this myth that teams wouldn't take elite running backs. Like, there's this idea that's pushed by fans that's, we don't want to invest in the running back position. We want to invest everywhere else, and we can do it with a lesser guy. Which, yes, that's true to an extent. You know, as you said, Kojo, the run game starts in the trenches. But the reality is you want the ball in the hands of good players. You know, this idea that teams don't want to make moves to get elite playmakers, I think is false. What is true is how important team building is, of course. But we're starting to see it, and we saw it with Atlanta, and we saw it with Detroit. We're going to start seeing a lot more run, and we're going to see it with Omari and Hampton as well as Genty. We're going to see teams start to realize we don't want a decent to bad player getting most of our touches. This idea that a cheap player equals a good player isn't always true.
So here's my problem with this. I mean, using just with the Gibbs example specifically, the Lions have one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. Gibbs was getting drafted. So, like, that's a dream scenario for a team to be able to have that already set and be able to get a guy like Jahmyr Gibbs. That's not going to be the situation for every team, or it might not even be the situation for Ashton Genty, right? You're only going to go as far as the guys up front. We saw the two teams in the Super Bowl had top five rated trenches in all of the NFL. These are what the teams are shooting for. The teams are shooting for a Super Bowl, not for an exciting play. They're shooting for wins. So that's kind of my counter argument to this is, yes, it is nice to have a good running back. But in order to have a running back, you have to have a foundation. You got to have the pie crust first before you bake the pie.
Let me make a counter argument to that.
You can't just have the crust either. That's my. It takes two to tango.
I'm saying it as a foundation alone. To even make the pie, you have to have the crust, right? That's the O-line. That's your wide receiver, quarterback, or running back.
Let me ask you something on top of that. What happens when the foundation in the draft is not even remotely close to the running back?
I mean, it depends on the team, though, right?
Yes.
When we look at it, I mean, it really depends on the team. What other issues do we need to address? Raiders, it's pretty obvious with them. Yes, we need to address offensive line, and we need to address running back. Everything else has been just about covered for them here in the offseason. If I'm the Raiders, Ashton Genty's gone, they're going to go a tackle. Right? The concern I have with them, if they go Genty at six, say Jacksonville passes, is he going into a situation in which he is meant to succeed? And he is a generational talent, don't get me wrong. But, like I said previously, you can only go as far as the guys up front. You're there to win games, not to have an exciting run game.
Yeah, but I think that in this situation is unique, and you know, you make that argument for an Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter. You know, you say, well, Genty might be just as good as them, but we're not going to take a running back over a premier player at another position. I think with the Jacksonville Jaguars, they're in a situation where Genty is such a blue chip prospect, where you have no choice but to take him and then build the O-line around him somehow, some other way. And Fogle tried to bring it up. In this situation, there might not be another, well, there's not an O-lineman here that we can even take. So how do we improve our run game? It's not with a tackle. It's with Ashton Genty. And let's figure out another way to build our offensive line.
My question, really, to pose it even better, was do we even know that there's a blue-chip player at O-line after Will Campbell? And is his value enough to warrant missing out on Ashton Genty?
So that's kind of what I was about to mention, is if they go Genty at six, I don't know their full draft situation. I'm assuming they have a second round pick. Second, third, they're looking for an offensive lineman. They're looking for a guy to build around.
100%. Yes. Totally agree.
The point here, as far as like coming back to like people are scared of taking a running back this high, I think it's more along, I'm not one of those people, first off. But the perspective that I've seen is that it's the capital, one, and two, they don't last long. That's the concern, right? They'll have fun for 5-6 years, whatever it may be, then they're back to square one.
Well, that's where I'd argue that the Raiders and the Jaguars are in unique positions to take Ashton Genty. And the reason I say that is because we're at the tipping stone right now of will Trevor Lawrence continue to get better? If there's not the correct alignment that you believe to take in this draft, the only other way to do that this early is to, one, get him a weapon in the passing game, or two, take something off his shoulders. The second thing I'm thinking of for the Raiders, Geno Smith is not a young quarterback. Pete Carroll is the oldest head coach in the NFL. There, you know, for Pete Carroll at 74 years old to build this team in 3 years, I don't think he wants to do that in 3 years. I think he wants to make this quicker. That's why I would say they're uniquely positioned to do this. However, I don't necessarily disagree with you at all. I think you're totally spot on, especially about the Gibbs comment. That's perfectly spot on.
You know why? And here's what I think about Gen 2, and then we can move on, you know, if we want to. I think that the Gen 2 range is 4, 5, 6. I think the Patriots are looking long and hard at Ashton Gen 2. The problem with New England and Las Vegas is they both have glaring holes at tackle. If the I'm telling you, if the Jacksonville Jaguars didn't have Walker Little, you can say he's mid all you want, but he is mid. If they didn't have Walker Little, they'd be getting Armand or Will Campbell, in my humble opinion, because you can't even move forward as an offense without guys at those tackle positions.
Yeah. So to move on to the Jets here, we think at 6, the Raiders are taking a tackle. Whether it's Kelvin Banks.
Kojo, can I ask you one thing? Do you think Kelvin Banks and Membu are on the same tier? Do you have a preference between those two guys?
I would take Kelvin Banks over Membu. I've never been a type of guy, especially with offensive linemen, where they shoot up in draft boards within a month. I've never been that. It's usually a red flag to me, personally. But Kelvin Banks was a guy I knew about prior to this draft process. Membu wasn't.
I think that then...
Freak athlete, though.
Kojo, if you're telling me that, then I think that Banks is on the table for the Raiders still. I don't think that we quite know, but from what I know about the Raiders and their needs for a tackle, I think it's safe to say it's Membu or Banks here, whoever they have higher.
Okay. So the Jets, then.
I have a feeling we're all going to be in agreement here.
I'm not going to be in agreement with you, I think.
I've got Mason Graham going here to the New York Jets.
Really?
Yeah, they make sense. Defensive coach. I don't think that they don't expect this offense to be their identity. I think they're going to try to build around this defense. That they think that they have pieces on this defense. And I think that Mason Graham is a top 5-ish player in this draft. I think he's boring, and I don't think that Jacksonville is going to take him. Mason Graham, make no mistake, he makes every single NFL team better. I don't care who you are.
All right, we might be in agreement here. It was either Jalen Walker to me or Mason Graham. I don't like the Tyre Warren shouts. Even Colson Loveland, who's flying up the boards now. Tight end prospect. Chuck said it first. I don't love any of the offensive players at this spot comparatively to a Mason Graham, to a Jalen Walker, or even that guy out of Bama, that outside linebacker, or hybrid. Especially with Aaron Glenn as the head coach, I think it makes sense that they go ahead and take that defensive player here.
Especially with the way that he supposedly came in and just slapped around Aaron Rodgers. He ain't coming in to baby Justin Fields. I can promise you that. Or baby an offense. You know, I think he wants to build a culture. Mason Graham's a culture guy.
So I was between them taking a tackle and Mason Graham.
Well, then the you're Jets, right either way.
So the Jets, I'm going to just say I'll be more confident with you here. I think they're taking Kelvin Banks. And I think, me personally, I think the Raiders are going to take Armand Membu. I don't think they go Mason Graham here. I think Mason Graham might slip a little. And then it becomes a question with the next pick with the Panthers, whether it's Jalen Walker or Mason Graham. That's where I see it. Jets had a mid offensive line. They just got Justin Fields. They have Aaron Glenn coming from the best offensive line unit, and Detroit saw the success that brought them. I think it could definitely be Kelvin Banks.
Yeah, and because there is a Kelvin Banks fan club, and honestly, I don't know anything about Membu or Banks. Like, I'm hearing all this is hearsay to me. So if you're gonna sit here and tell me that they're on the same tier, from what I understand about how these tackles are thought of in this process, Kelvin Banks deserves to be way up here if Membu's way up here.
So, Chuck, another, you know, why I love Will Campbell so much is the you know, limited amount of pressures that he had over the 4 years and the limited amount of sacks. Kelvin Banks falls in that category. He had like four or five sacks. Record. Yeah, it's track record. It's in playing tough teams, playing tough players. It translates.
Yeah.
Having
starter.
These reps. Having Three these reps. Armon Membu is similar as well. He played at Missouri. He had those guys. He's going in the SEC. I'm not sure of his sack rate or anything like that. I haven't looked
into
that.
And you didn't hear about him for, you know, he doesn't have the track record of the household name and, you know, like a Banks or a Campbell.
That's why I say Kelvin Banks. But then you look at Kelvin Banks cooked by Jalen Walker, by the way. But it leads me to think that these two guys are going back to back. I don't think the Jets are going Mason Graham.
Well, Kelvin Banks was a 3-year starter, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yeah, he played freshman to junior year, like 4 or 5 sacks for that time. So,
it's crazy.
Insane.
So we've got Carolina here. If Mason Graham's on the board at this point, I think that's a lock. If he's still there.
Is there a guarantee the Panthers are going defense here?
I think so.
Because I've always thought that they were obsessed with Tet McMillan. Like, that was just a hunch I had. Like, I don't know if it's a premonition of mine, but I know that Dave Canales is sitting in that office just begging for the GM to let him take Tet McMillan. That's what I think.
So, interesting enough, Jalen Walker's minus odds at number 8.
Like, that's and people will push back on that and say, absolutely not. If Jalen Walker is there, that's who the Panthers are taking. And then you say Mason Graham as well. Is it understood the Panthers are going defense here? And I missed that.
So it seems like that's the case. It really does. But I could also see the Panthers being the first team in this draft and moving back. Like you said, Chuck, this whole time we were under the impression like Tech McMillan is going to Carolina. I could see them moving back, grabbing their wide receiver in Tech McMillan, maybe 13, 14, if he's there. If they have some sort of idea how the rest of the picks are going to go and developing the offense that way. But how it currently stands, I see them taking Jalen Walker.
I think that we're starting to get into the territory of the unknowns, even if it is Jalen Walker here. And don't get me wrong, I have Tet or Jalen Walker because I understand Jalen Walker has that, you know, maybe top 5 type of conversation around him. And apparently the Panthers love him. So I'm willing to agree with you guys here and pencil in Jalen Walker here at 8 because I thought for a time Jalen Walker was in play as high as 4 or 5. You know a name I think is going in the top 10, though, and I don't know where to place him. I think he could go as high as 6 to the Raiders. Jahdae Barron from Texas. I'm telling you guys, Jahdae Barron is going to be a top 10 pick. It's up to us right now on this pod to figure out where he's going. If anything, you know what I think the perfect glove fit is the Chicago Bears at 10. That's I think a dream fit for both parties, but I could see him going higher.
Yeah, I mean you could. I've heard a lot of chatter about him as well, but you know we'll see.
You know why I love him, Kojo? He's a corner that can cover, but he's a corner that can come down and help in the run game. And not every one of these guys can do that. I mean that's. You talk a guy that you could even move back as a nickel hybrid overhang guy. I mean, that does so much for your defense. If he can also come out there and guard your number one wide receiver on the outside, you know what else I'm hearing about Jahdae Barron? Football guy. He might be one of these guys Jacksonville's trying to trade back and get him instead of, you know, you can't take him top five from what I understand. You can take him number 8 or 9.
This is where the draft gets real fun, though.
I think because there's guys that we're just, you know, and what else can we say but go off chalk? We know there's going to be just like, okay, like, that's crazy.
Well, the reason why I say fun is because pick 9 here is the New Orleans Saints. And Derek Carr is not healthy right now. Spencer Rattler, we don't know if they want him to be the starter. This we is can where probably Shador, guess not. I'm saying this is where Shador and Jaxson Dart come into the conversation. Maybe Jalen Tyler Morrow. Tyler Shuck.
You know what I don't think anyone's talking about enough, Vogel, here with the Saints? Kellen Moore just came from the Eagles with Jalen Hurts.
Mm-hmm.
And no one looked you in your eyes and told you that Jalen Hurts was a pro thrower of the football walking into the NFL. But he's a locker room guy. Jalen Milroe is a locker room guy. Am I crazy to think that this might be a fit that no one expects?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think so. I think that's insane. Well.
I think but Jaxson Dart here is.
I don't hate your logic.
I'll be honest, boys. That was certified off the cuff. Like, I just thought about that. When you were listing off the quarterbacks, I was waiting for you to say Milroe, and I was like, wait, running quarterback from Alabama. I was told that they were both leaders. I was told they're both weight room guys. Kellen Moore just came there. Maybe not at 9, but maybe because we've heard, you know, I think that the Saints rumor got so out of hand. I think someone from the Saints had to tell someone, like, we ain't doing that shit. Like, what are y'all on? Because I think there was a complete 180. I don't think the Saints are going quarterback here. But I think that they're on the radar in the second round, like a lot of teams are.
You know who I think they take?
Who?
Mykel Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cam Jordan. So too. Cam Jordan replacement. Mykel Williams.
I think you're right here, Kojo. That was my pick as well.
My only thing with that is with Kellen Moore coming in as the OC, now to head coach, it makes me wonder. If he has a guy and he has his pick of the second quarterbacks to be taken, if there's somebody that he likes enough and he believes is his guy, I do think he's going to be gone at 9. I don't think they're going to want to wait. But if nobody is the case, you'll know quickly.
I think so here's what I think happened with the Saints. I think someone found out the Saints are targeting a quarterback and they thought it was at 9, but I think that they like one of these development guys. That's what I think. I think that they're targeting a guy on day 2 or 3, and I think that someone heard and it got overblown. I think that the Saints, I could see Mykel Williams, I could see Kellen Moore understanding that he's got a long leash, understanding also coming from the Philly dog system, we need to start somewhere. This team is a world away from being an offensive powerhouse. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. We might be back here in the top 10 next year with about 5 of these dudes on the board.
Facts, Chuck. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yeah, I think you sold it well.
I also want to say here, thing is we're forgetting about Mykel Williams. One, he dealt with a lot of injuries this past year, but he was regarded a top 3 pick mid-season. Like,
bro, there's
mid-season.
A world he goes higher. There's a world that he's not on the board here.
I think the Saints are ecstatic getting Mykel Williams at number 9. I think this would be the robbery of the top 10. I think they're overjoyed.
Remind you of Jalen Carter a little bit in terms of what happened? Not maybe as a player, but what happened.
I would say he is like an elevated Trayvon Walker. That's what I think about him.
All right, well, in terms of pick 10, we have Chicago, the Bears. This can be almost any direction, it feels like, if they're picking at this slot. My first name that came to my head here is Tyler Warren. I think this is where you see it happen.
I'm going to disagree with you. I think that they're going defense here. I think they've put so much into this offense, man. At this point, we hired Ben Johnson for a reason. I mean, their secondary needs help. I was joking about the statistic. Remember the tweet that I sent in? They have these stats that say how each aspect of the game affects wins. And the way that statistic goes is that passing offense is most important. Passing defense is second most important. Third is rushing offense. And the fourth least most important thing to winning is rushing defense. And so if you follow the nerd's logic here, the Bears literally ruined their season because the secondary gave up a Hail Mary. Their secondary, honestly, in my opinion, got torched all year. That secondary needs help. If you add a guy like Jahdae Barron in with a guy like Jalen Johnson on the other side, you turn it into a strength. That's what I think they're going to do. But there's a lot of moving parts here. I think the Bears are far enough away at number 10. So much can happen in front of them. They could even be a trade-back team. This is wide open here.
So I'm indifferent on this one, so I'm split 50-50. So Tyler Warren makes sense. That's one guy I see them taking. But from the heart here, I think it's Mason Graham. I think this is where Mason Graham lands. I keep emphasizing Lions' offensive line. Well, there's two other teams in this division that have a top 12 offensive line. We keep saying games are won in the trenches. I see Mason Graham going to try to combat these other teams in the division. I think they are set on offense. If they don't come up and try to get Ginty, I think they go defense. So I'm saying Mason Graham, but I also love Tyler Warren landing in the Bears too.
Interesting. Let me ask you guys a couple questions here on this top 10 picks. Who are some candidates you think could trade into the top 10 that either aren't in the top 10 or maybe Chicago is one of those fringe teams? Because it seems like the chatter right now is picks 5 even through 9 are being talked about as move back candidates.
Me personally, Fogle, I'm sticking to my guns here. I don't expect a ton of trading. I really don't. I think that this draft is take it as it comes. If we see any movement, I think it's a team like the Broncos coming up to get Omarion Hampton. That's who I think that they want badly. It's going to depend if the Cowboys let them jump. See, I don't think we're going to see it all the way into the top 10. I think if Tet McMillan falls out of the top 10 to the Cowboys, I think that we might see the Broncos move up right behind them to get Hampton. But if Tet McMillan's off the board, the Cowboys aren't going to let the Broncos come up and get Hampton, in my
opinion. A question for you guys as well would be, if Mason Graham is slipping, and let's say
let's say at
the number 9 pick he's there, and many of these teams may be under the convincement that at 10 he will be gone. Do we see a team jump Chicago when a player that is regarded as maybe a top 5 guy in the draft is slipped a few picks? Do we see someone give up a second round pick to jump 3 spots?
I think Chicago likes Mason Graham. We've heard them connected. I think if Mason does slip, the Bears will be all over it. Because I think there is a chance that if he gets beyond Jacksonville and beyond the Jets, he might be going to the Bears.
So go back to your question here, Fogle, on what team outside of the top 10 could we see come in and try to move up. I'm hearing the Houston Texans are eyeing an offensive lineman. And I'm hearing it is aggressive of them trying to get in the top 10 or even the top 15 to get a guy like Gray Zabel from North Dakota State or get a guy like Kelvin Banks. So we've seen them do this before, right? We've seen them. They have a track record of this. So if I had to choose a team that's going to do it, Houston Texans. They need help on the O-line.
The only thing is moving up from 25 to even as low right. as 15 is a big move up in the it's first round. It's a bag. Round. It is
that,
a lot.
The point but, to that is, though, they're win now, right?
Not only are they win now, but they are in dire, desperate need of a tackle. If they don't like their options at 25 now, and they don't love their options in the second round, they might just be picking once.
Yeah. Let's see it.
Wow.
Yeah, they're a team that they need to draft for need. Like, if they don't build an offensive line, what's this? Is this GM drinking on the job? Did you see what I sent you, Vogel? Did you know the Texans, to speak about them trading up, did you know that the Texans GM has the most trade-ups in the league?
I did see that. I believe that.
Wow, I didn't know that.
I know that shit made you sick, Vogel. Or maybe it made you happy because it's the Texans. But
it made
I know
me happy that was, because it's the
if
Texans.
If that was your team, if that was your team,
my team would probably almost never trade up if I was a GM. Yes, you know this. Yes. I would be the reverse. It'd be like, why is my team never picking where they're supposed to?
If your team was genuinely trading up every year, you'd be threatening to just switch teams.
I'd switch cities. I don't even want to be a part of this.
So I guess I should have said that must have been music to your ears, because the Texans, you don't do this by trading up every year. You got to accumulate capital. And honestly, this Texans GM might be a horrible GM disguised as a good GM, because the Browns made the worst trade in NFL history. Because if you look at them and their history of roster building, trading up, and mistakes, the only reason they were able to survive that is just the boatload of assets Cleveland handed over to them.
I'm going to ask you guys some trivia. I have a couple questions.
You got us on the trivia?
Yeah, I got some draft-based questions. All right.
Okay.
I'm ready to go here.
All right, gentlemen.
Google everyone too.
Okay. All right, you ready, boys? First question. Ready. In the 2008 draft, Matt Ryan was selected third overall. Who is the number one overall player?
Was it Joe Thomas? Lineman for the Browns?
Three guesses.
2008 number one overall pick. It wasn't Jamarcus Russell, because that was 07.
Matt Stafford was 09, right?
I think so. Was 08 Carson Palmer?
You guys come together. Matt Stafford was 09. And Jamarcus Russell was 07.
Yeah.
Okay.
Who was 08?
It's going to be some, like, dumbass tackle or some shit like that. I know it is. I'm just thinking of the name. I know it's a tackle.
I'm going to give you 30 seconds on the clock here, because...
Who was the team? Was the Rams?
Get away.
No, I think... Are you think? Oh,
20 seconds.
2008. Wasn't Dude, that long?
I'm right
ago.
There. I'm right there.
Yeah, I think it's on the tip of my tongue, too.
Can 10 seconds.
20? Let's get an extra 10
Jake
seconds.
Long. Jake Long.
Jake Long is correct.
Bang. Bang. Come on.
Bang.
That was good.
Bang.
Good,
that was
good. Good snipe. Good snipe. All right.
Was it the Rams, too?
It was the Miami Dolphins.
Ah, okay.
Oh, Chris Long went to the Rams. Or the other guy, the other Long.
Yeah, he was the second pick. All right. Hold on one sec. Make sure I got
NFL draft, man. I'm so excited, boys.
Isn't it just
Jaguar Super Bowl?
Yep.
Isn't it crazy?
I don't even give a damn to either. Like, the NFL draft is the best day of the year because every team gets excited about it. Every team has hope. Your team can be changed tomorrow.
Give me one second, sorry.
Jake Long and Chris Long. Chris Long went to the Rams that draft. I'm looking at the 08 draft now.
That's actually crazy. All
right, you ready, boys?
Yep.
In the 2016 NFL draft, three QBs were selected in the first round. Who were those QBs?
2016.
You have five guesses.
Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, Paxton Lynch.
That is hammer on the nail.
Are you guys in agreement?
Yeah.
I agree.
That's correct. Nice job.
Yeah. I don't know how. That was one of those years, bro. I was just locked into the draft that year. I was watching. I think I watched both full days, day one and day two that year.
Locked in.
Yep. Yep.
All right. I've got another question for you guys.
Chuck, that 2008 draft, too. Darren McFadden. Pick what a four.
Draft. What a draft.
Pick four.
Yeah, and we can't take Gentry at five. They took Darren McFadden four.
Darren McFadden was different, bro.
Like, different, bro. Like, so different. You know who else was different, bro? Dexter McCluster, bro. People like Dexter McCluster. He single-handedly, he was why Florida choked that 08 game and had Timmy Tebow crying at the presser. Dexter McCluster went crazy on them in the swamp.
Dog.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. And I'm going to ask you guys this question here. In what NFL draft was Joe Thomas, Adrian Peterson, Patrick Willis, and Marshawn Lynch all drafted in the top 12 picks?
Oh, five?
You have two guesses because it's a year. 1 year. Darrell Revis was the 14th pick as well.
It's
05, 06, Chuck.
It's one of those two. We got to figure out which one.
Well, we have two guesses.
You have 1 minute. You have two guesses.
All right, so it's 05 or 06.
Are you guys in agreement? I'll pick one.
Yes.
05.
05 is incorrect.
Let's go 06.
Final answer?
06. Final answer.
Yep.
06 is incorrect. It is 07.
Yeah. Damn.
I thought it might be 07 because there was no Reggie Bush. I don't know. That was a tough one.
All right. Here's a good one. You ready?
All right. So
it's 2-1. Since 2010, how many first overall picks were QBs?
Ooh.
So we got Goff is one.
Caleb.
Bryce.
Lawrence.
Trevor.
So we
that's
got
four.
Three, right? Wait, no. Wait, Caleb, Bryce, Trevor.
And then Goff, four.
A Goff. Okay, let's try to get to Goff. So 2020 was Burrow. So Lawrence, Burrow.
19 was Kyler.
Kyler.
Baker,
18. Was Baker. 17 was Miles Garrett. And now we're to Goff. So we got Goff, Baker, Kyler, Burrow, Lawrence, Bryce, Caleb. Yep. So we're at seven. 2015 was Jameis.
I'm going to still give you guys 2 minutes. I think it's a better way to say how many of them were not QBs. It's probably a better way to do it.
Well, we're at Jameis 8 anyway. We're already here. 2014. Who was 2014, number one?
Is that... Sam Mariota went to...
No,
Sam Bradford was earlier.
No, Mariota was second in Jameis' class.
Okay.
14 was... Who the fuck was that? Excuse my French.
Bro. I'm trying to think who had the first pick.
Let's just assume it wasn't.
I don't think it was a quarterback.
So who was 2012?
So we're on to 2013?
Yeah. We need 10, 11, 12, and 13. How many quarterbacks were in there? I know Sam Bradford was in there, so we're at 9.
Wasn't Jadeveon Clowney in that ballpark?
He was first somewhere. So we know there's ones that we aren't quarterbacks.
Okay, so
because 2013 wasn't a quarterback either. It was like a lineman or some shit.
Yeah, I think you're right there.
So we're at 9 with Sam Bradford, because I think Sam Bradford was 2010.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
11 was Cam Newton, or 12 was Cam Newton, so we're at 10. So who was 11? Johnny Manziel, right? Or did he go 2?
Andrew Luck, another big name. Andrew Luck,
so we're at 11. Let's go 11, final answer right here.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you guys one guess. How many? So you're saying 11 of the 15 QBs, or the 15 first overall picks. Said
right, we got Jadeveon Clowney, Myles Garrett, so that gets us to 13. We've got the year just now where it was Trayvon Walker, 3.
Yeah.
So we're down to 12. So is there one we're missing? Because we got to 11.
So
is there one we're missing?
We went Bradford, Cam. 2012 was...
You have 15 Luck? Seconds.
2013.
Yeah, so Bradford, Cam, Luck. Let's go 12, final answer, and just think. Let's assume we're
just
missing
have a buffer.
One.
Just a buffer.
Yeah. Let's go 12. 12, final answer.
It is 11. Eric Fisher.
Chuck, we went down the line, too. I should have stopped that. We named every first-round pick.
Yeah,
first
It was Eric Fisher.
We added one that didn't exist.
We're treating it like it's the SAT.
My thing is just random. The thing is, for one overall, if it was a quarterback, you'd have remembered his name.
Well, no, because we didn't say Andrew Luck or Cam for a second.
You got him, though. All right, so 2-2. Do you want me to give you a 5? I have to come up with one. That was a good learning exercise.
Yep. Way to work out the brain. Damn, Koja, we did it, too. Honestly, I was trying to read Fogel's reaction. That was a good... Fogel plays too much poker. Honestly, from now on, that's how Grant gets us on the trivia, bro. We need to have me read the questions. Y'all read me like a book.
I can't believe the Eric Fisher, bro.
That's the thing. It's like we had it, bro. We just folded. That was such a.
I'm going to say we got that right just because we named all of them. Just out of sheer ball knowledge that we just had.
Out of sheer ball knowledge, we just flexed there. We got it. We should have trusted ourselves.
All right, you guys ready?
Yep.
So, here is your question. In the last 5 drafts from 2024, 2023, 2022, 2021, and 2020... how many running backs were selected in the first round?
Gibbs. Bijan.
It's only been 4. It's been Etienne and Najee both went in the first.
Gibbs and Bijan.
Gibbs, Bijan. Was there another one? No. We'd know him from fantasy, bro. If someone went in the first... Clyde.
Clyde was 2020.
He said 2020.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. Clyde... wasn't so five. No, D. Swift was an early second, I think.
Yeah, because Clyde was the first running back off the board. That was the one that we were gonna miss.
So Clyde, Gibbs,
and then the next year was Najee Etienne for sure.
Najee Etienne, agreed.
And then the next year, no one went, and then it was Bijan Gibbs, and then no one went again. So we got 5.
5.
Yep. 5. Final answer.
Are you positive?
Yes.
Get out of here. Yes.
I have 5 right now. I just need to recount this to make sure I'm correct.
You have
Bijan and Gibbs. That is correct.
Yep.
There was nobody in 2024. There was nobody in 2022. In 2021, you were correct on Travis and Najee. And then when you go to 2020, the 32nd pick was Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
There we go. There Money. We go. Ding, 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 ding.
Nice job, boys.
Well, we'll see how this draft goes. I'm stoked for it, fellas. I'm so it's going to be a movie, man. Tonight.
Let's run through our top. Let's run through our since we can get on the same page for trivia. Let's get on the same page. Let's do it off the cuff. How does this top 10 go?
We just did it.
How does this go?
Yeah, we just did it, bro.
No, we had a. Let's run through it real quick because there was a All couple right. we disagreed on.
All right, I'll give you mine. So, 1, Cam Ward. 2, Travis. 3, Abdul. 4, Will. 5, Genty.
6, Armand
Minbu. 7, Jets. Kelvin Banks.
Are we 8, sure it's not Mason Graham?
Well, 8. We can disagree there, but that's where he is.
8 is Jalen Walker, and 9 was the Saints. That who did I have?
Michael Williams.
We both right. And then 10, Mason Graham.
Okay, so we have the exact same thing, except I have the Jets taking Mason Graham, and I've got the Bears taking Jahdae Barron at 10, and then I've got Kelvin Banks immediately coming off the board after that.
Yeah, I'm all the way up to 6 with you guys, except I have Membu at 6. And then 7 for me, I do have Mason Graham going instead. And then 8, as in Jalen Walker. 9, I actually have Jackson Dart. I think he's their guy. And then 10, I have either Michael Williams going there or Tyler Warren.
Book it.
I'm getting my popcorn, I'm getting an alcoholic beverage, and I'm kicking my feet up tonight. I just hope I don't fall asleep before the end.
All right, gentlemen.
All right, gotcha.
Bless you. God bless you.
Amen.
Love it.